two Charleses. I'm not so sure Miss Shirley can handle that. Now, I know what we're going to do after church this evening. I see all those fishing rods, so I think that would be something we can use that in planning. Got a question. When you were doing your devotions and you're looking at this week, it was talking about tearing down high places. Why is it important when Moses, after our last week's study, it was talking about the compromises that Pharaoh kept giving to the children of Israel. It was compromise after compromise. But why, when we're looking at our own lives, do we need to look at strongholds? Because that's where Satan's going to root in. He's going to hold on to it. He wants that compromise. I stopped and I did a lot of reflecting on my own life. I have a lot of strongholds. And those strongholds, why is it important to give up? Because those compromises affect how I can commune with God. It's the way that Satan's going to stay in my life. And it's hard as it is with everything going on, how am I going to learn? When you stop and you ask, how many people, why haven't these churches gone back? Why haven't they opened back up? Satan is a very big stronghold on all of our lives. When you stop and reflect, have they shut down, I don't know, gambling? Have they shut down tobacco use? No. Have they shut down alcohol, distilleries and all? But COVID shut down a church. What compromises are we making in our lives? We're so afraid of dying. We're afraid that we're going to die. Guess what? You began life, what will happen? There will be an end. We're so afraid of catching COVID that we're willing to watch another person perish. We're compromising with Satan. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to be safe. I'm not going to come into church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm going to give up. It's a very hard pill. When you stop and you look at what's going on around us. There were already, how many plagues were sent to the Egyptians? 10. And in 9 of them, Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. No offense, most time on the weekend, my father-in-law has a place at Lake Phelps, and we go there as a family, and we just spend time together. We have what we call biting flies. I mean, they land on you, and they're just biting. Not cow flies. We have them, too, and horse flies. The mosquitoes and the gnats, but we have biting flies. No offense, after having been bit by 3 or 4 of them, guess what? You're willing to sacrifice doing a whole lot. Can you imagine what the Egyptians were going through? But they go, no, we're not going to let it go. Look at our lives. When you break down these studies, God had a plan. And God told it early in the beginning to Moses, hey, Pharaoh's not going to change. He's going to get worse. He's going to harden his heart. When you stop and you think, how long were the children or the Israelites in captivity? A long time. Do we want to break out? Do we want to make a difference? If you are, and you do, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be things you have to obey that God has said. And that's where we're going to talk about it. Coming out of death's grip. Open up your Bibles. Go to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 21 through 28. But while y'all are flipping there, look at your devotions. If you don't have one, there's several still on the back. It will change you if you reflect on it. It says, and then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that it is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep his service. And it shall come to pass, when the children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded. Moses and Aaron, so did they. When you stop and you think, there was a game show years ago. It was called Let's Make a Deal. You remember we played that during Kids Crusade, I'm sorry. When you stop and you think, how does that game work? You're given a prize, but then you get to choose from 3 to 4 boxes. What is under that box? That's how our life is. Satan wants to make a deal. So many times, he wants us to change what we have. He wants to put that shiny new little toy in front of us. I used to make this illustration to a lot of people working for the state for over 17 years. This is how they got you to work. They hung a carrot and here you walked. No offense, they lied to us. They promised us pay raises. Put it in writing in contracts just to get us to work harder. Only to find out at the end of it, when you did everything they said, you met all their requirements, what happened? Oh, they've never got the money to fund it. When you stop and you think, how stupid was that? They paid someone to do a study, spend all that money, and never fund it. Now, if you ran your life that way, guess what? You would be bankrupt. But we allow our government to do that. And we fall for it hook, line, and sinker. When you look at TV nowadays, and I understand there's no more cigarette commercials, but stop and think. When you think back in our time, when you saw the Marlboro Man, how did he look? Strong, tough, looked good. Everything you want. When you see the alcohol commercials, what do you see? Glamour, money, yep. walking on the beaches, having a good time. I can tell you, because I used to be an alcoholic, it's not that way. It is not. In college, me and my roommate, it was so bad that we started using aftershave. What's glamorous about that? Waking up the next morning feeling bad, vomit on you, the smell, the odors, no money. They didn't show that in that ad. And that's what Satan's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to make a compromise. And some of them are hard. When you stop and you think, the Egyptian people were a polythetic nation. They never wanted to give credence to the true God. They'd rather have a frog god, a river god. We're the same way. When you stop and you think, with the plagues, what was the importance of them? What was the first plague? Turn into blood. Why was that important? When he'd hit their god to show he didn't mean nothing. That was their life flow. When it's gone, guess what? So God showed out. What was the next plague? The frogs. Next was the lice. Then the flies. What was the next plague? Cattle. Do you think, Nurse Wade, that would get your attention, the cattle disease? And how about, what was the next one after the cattle disease? Boils. Now, what are boils? They're like little pimples you get on your face, right? If you never experienced a boil, I promise you, when I played football, I used to get them all the time. They were huge. They would be so big that I would literally take my knee pad off, cut it, put over it, and tape it. They're very painful. It's painful to even walk. What's the next plague? The hail mixed with fire. Now, could you imagine? You have nothing to drink, you're in the desert, and here's hail. How scary is that? Right now, we have a lot of modern conveniences where we can go in the house, we can get away from it, we can get in our car. But hail damages cars, it dents it. Let's stop and think how it was back then. How would you feel huddled in your house with your kids and just rocks or hail, which would sound like rocks, just pelting your house? Just at one after another. What was the next one? Locusts. Now they just stay on the trees and just chirp, right? What was the ninth plague? Darkness. When you stop and you look, we're standing at the last plague. How do you think the Egyptians felt? I think by now I would be pretty well scared. I think God would have had my attention. So that tells us a story how hard their hearts had become. How would you feel to be an Israelite during this time? God questioned, each and every one of us in here, we have our trials and our tribulations that we go through. Most of the time, it's because of our own self-afflictions. How would you feel that the God you worshiped and worship now, every time Moses went to him, and prayed, it stopped. Everything just ceased. By now you would probably be to the point, hey, Pharaoh, just let us go. Can't you see what God is telling you? Look at what's going on around us today with the COVID. You remember when Louisiana got hit, Katrina? How many times did you see on TV, pray for the victims of Katrina. Pray for our country. Pray, oh, it's gone. Hey, let's take God off money and let's have a big debate over the bathroom. You know, being homosexual, be what you want. Who cares? When the Twin Towers fell, COVID. How many plagues are we going to go through before we wake up? When you stop and you think, were we so naive and so blind to think Satan was going to let us go? Oh, Christians, don't worry about it. Nowadays, you're going to be fine. Relax. Come into church once or twice a week, maybe three times, and you're going to be fine. Don't open up your Bibles. Trust what Roy says. Trust what Pastor P says. You're going to be fine. And we live that lie. We don't study. Do we truly want to be free from everything? How do we want our kids to grow up? Our legacies? Your first blank is provision. A perfect provision. God told... Go ahead.
I wanted to say one more comment. You asked
go ahead.
Us how to think the Israelites felt.
Mm-hmm.
I think they began to believe enough to where they said, wow, we have a champion on our side.
Very much so. It woke them up, don't you think? Because after a certain number of plagues, they weren't affected anymore, were they?
Right.
Got a question. Have all of us in here had COVID? And I'm not saying that this is a plague or anything, but does it make you wake up? Does it make you see? Are we reflecting on how great God is? How much He loves us? Because I got a question. Let's say you were to get COVID and you were to die. Where are you going? What's so bad about it? What is so bad? The biggest thing is, do you want to be driving a Pinto to heaven or you want to be driving a Trailways bus loaded? It's your pick. It's a very unique analogy, don't you think, Miss Carol? How do you want to be remembered? You want to be like Miss Rochelle loading the kids on the bus? Come on, let's go. We're going. Don, you're late again. Getting on it and you're taking off. When you stop and you think, God told Moses, I'm going to give you a provision. It's very important to understand these provisions that God gives us. When you stop and you think, what did they have to do to avoid the plague of death? What did they have to do? Do what? The blood. But I got a question. There were some certain things. How did that sacrifice have to be made?
Perfect lamb.
The perfect lamb. Could it have a blemish? No. Could it be blind? No. Could it be lame? A lot of people say, I'm not coming to church because they're hypocrites. Go in the Malachi and read. Everybody's going to get to see what you bring. And no offense, sometimes hypocrites are the best things if you will use it proper. Because, hey, they're picking out your faults. Well, guess what? I got a lot of them. So there's probably a lot of people talking about me. Which, if I will reflect, is that a bad thing? No. Because guess what? When they're talking about me, they ain't talking about you. Second, if I'll use that positive things in my life to change, guess what? But when you stop and you think there was a way that the sacrifice had to be made, the blood had to be caught in the basin, what did they do to the meat? Could they boil it? No. Why not? Because the Egyptian gods, when they made sacrifices, they boiled their sacrifices. A lot of times they boiled it in milk. So when you stop and you think, how about what else? The Egyptians also did some mutilation, some cutting on their sacrifices. When you made your sacrifice, you had to roast it. Could you break the bones? Nope. Could you cut it? Nope. You even had to roast it with the entrails. It's not like nowadays they took the whole cow and cleaned it and prepped it, salt and pepper, a little bit of garlic and all these other. No. Why was that important? Because the Egyptians had a sacrifice where they ate the entrails raw. This was exactly against what God said. That's why it was important to obey exactly. When you stop and you look in the Bible, how it says exactly how to be saved. I got a question. Can you get to heaven on your own way? No. Can you get to heaven for good works? No. Can you get to heaven because you had good intentions? No. And this is where it's showing in here that we have to follow what God has instructed. The second blank is the blood of the lamb. The blood. Just like Miss G and Mr. Al said, it had to be perfect. We see that in John chapter 1, verse 29. And this is John the Baptist. The next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was perfect. Jesus had no blemish. Just like the sacrifices. Thinking of it, in order for God to atone for man's sin, someone had to subject himself to death. Yet only one who had unlimited ability to atone for sin could do that. Only a perfect man. He had to have unlimited ability to atone because he would be shedding his blood for all humankind. He had to be perfect because God accepts only unblemished sacrifices. Who could do that? Only God. And God's Son who shed his blood. When you stop and you think, that's why Jesus. We stop and we see the miracles and the stories, and it's so awesome to hear everything that Jesus did. But stop and think. Through all of that, knowing every day he would be subject to ridicule and persecution, all this stuff, to know what the end result was going to be. Now you stop and you think of it. How would you feel knowing you were going to give up your child? And your child had to live in that glass bubble. And that glass couldn't get damaged. Not even a scratch, not even a smear. Can you imagine sitting back how God felt seeing his son walk through this world? Knowing at the end of it, he would suffer so much. When you look at it, what was the other part of that? When were they to kill this lamb? In the evening. And they were supposed to catch the blood. They were supposed to put the blood on. How were they supposed to apply the blood? Okay, but how? Striking it, right? One on this post, one on this post, one on this post. Why not just pour the blood on? Why not just back up and take the blood and just sling it on the whole house? Why not? It's not what God said.
God's symbol was very important. Precursor of Christ on the cross.
And that's where I was coming to. But when, no, you're fine, you're fine. That's where we need to study. We need to break out. These are great jumping off things, these books for us to read, but we've got to break out and understand. Got a question, what was hyssop? It's not in the book. We're always jumping down rabbit hole. Tell me what it was. It was a plant. Do what, Miss Jill? It was bitter. It was an herb, weren't it? Had antibacterial properties, people believe. Got a question, how many other times will you find that in the Bible? Crucifixion. There's another one. I challenge you to study and read it. It also was when David was with Bathsheba. I see somebody going, oh yeah. When you stop and you think, why was it important? It brings so much more of the Bible to life. But that's awesome that you see that it makes the symbol of what Jesus did for us. When you stop and you think, hear Mr. Tizek. His wife has this issue. The government has these rules. Where does that make common sense? Does it to you, Mertizek? It doesn't to me. And it becomes very frustrating, doesn't it? It's very scary too, isn't it? But I got a question. My God, there's nothing He can't do.
Amen.
Nothing. The issue comes, it's our own belief. I got a question. How do you know this book is real? It's a faith that each of us have to hold. I can't get to heaven off my dad's faith, my mom's faith. It's my faith. It's just like that sickness, the disease and all. Is it funny to you? Do you read about cancer in old days? In biblical times? May have been wrote as something different. Got a question. My God raised the dead. When you go in Revelations, what does it say? You know, there are dead that come back. You remember? So do you think death, the grave, can hold us? No. But so many times we're going to follow that carrot. We're going to be standing in that line, just waiting our turn. Next, applied. applied, the blood applied, and we talked about that, how it had to be applied to the doorposts. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Your next is a planned Passover. Passover. It was going to be a final plague. This was going to be God's way of saying, "I am God. I am that I am." Exodus 3, verse 14. Your next one is punishment for disobedience. What would be a disobedience for not putting the mark? For who? Firstborn. Now, I got a question. What happens? How would you feel if you woke up in the morning and your child was dead? Picture that just for a moment. How hard would it be? How torturesome to go in, see your child dead, not coming back because of your unbelief, your disobedience. When you stop and you look at our lives right now, what's happening to our youth? Are they not dying from our disbelief? It's heart-wrenching. It's torturesome. Did God want anything bad to happen? No. Do you think God wants any of us to go to a horrible place called hell? Being tortured and tormented forever. No rest, no sleep. Wait a minute, that's like living with in-laws. I'm kidding. I love my in-laws, they're awesome. But when you stop and you think, for disobedience, got a question. Could Moses kill everybody's lamb? Could I go kill a lamb for Miss Gregor? Did that count? No. Right now, who's going to stand at the judgment seat? You're at the judgment seat or the great white throne? That's your decision. You're at the throne or the great throne. That's when you get to hear what? "Welcome in, thy good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, I knew you not." But the next seat is what? Accountability, right? Hey, this is what I gave to you and all. Each of us will stand on our own. I can't stand for Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley can't stand for me. But when you stop and you think, how would you feel? How do you think Pharaoh felt? Just picture in your mind hearing all that wailing. Every house, every Egyptian got to feel that disobedient punishment. Just hearing the screaming. How do you think? Let's go back to the Israelites. How do you think they felt? What did God tell them to do? You stay in your house. Don't go out until when? Why was that so important? Hey, don't go out that door. There's a lion out there. Got a question real quick. Is there a lion out there? Yes. He's walking to and fro. We know it. So when you walk out the doors, what do you need to be doing? You need to be looking. But if they had went out at night, the death angel, the destroyer. So can you picture just for a moment being the father of a family back then, knowing Moses has said, hey, the death angel has come. You've got to do the sacrifice. You've got to follow these rules. You've got to only do it this way. How much do you think you would have slept that night? You can picture a father sitting around with his kids around, huddled together. Did I do right? Did I put it on perfect? The destroyer is coming. My kids' lives are on the line. I'm going to hold them tight. Probably wouldn't be able to sleep a wink, would you? And then all of a sudden you start hearing the crying, the screaming, the sobbing. What could you imagine they were doing? One, two, three, four. Yep, little, where's Johnny? He's drifted off again. He's hiding. But there was a punishment for the disobedience. Your next one is obedient. Obedient. Pardon for the obedient. Got a question? Is it possibility that we catch COVID? Yes. We all walk around with a stupid mask. Great. If it helps somebody, if it protects, stops it. I got a question though. Is that mask going to save you from the grave? Nope. But I got a question. So which do you want? You want a mask or a Bible? Got a question. What good is a mask with a hole in it? It's no good, right? Got a question. If you're reading the wrong Bible, guess what? What good is it? Know your Bible. There's been several people that have done studies on the Bible in this church. Talk with them. Review it. It's going to be what saves your children's lives. It's going to be what saves your soul. If you don't know who they are, get up with me. I'll direct you to them. There's only one correct way. Next, there's a perpetual. That's your next blank. Perpetual. A perpetual practice. Got a question. What were they supposed to do after the death angel? What were they to do? They were to remember that day. Go back in time. How did it used to be July 4th? When the Twin Towers fell, there was a song wrote, hey, the eagle's going to fly and you're going to face us. How dare you? Why didn't the Japanese invade America during World War II? Because behind every tree was what? A gun. And I don't care who, where you're black, white, red, green, blue, if you cross the United States of America, we're coming. The military had a motto, what? No man left behind. Is that true? No. We're constantly leaving people behind. We don't want no one with us. It's what's the old saying, I've never seen an atheist in a foxhole. Guess what? Has everybody been in a foxhole? No. There was a practice by the obedience. That's your next blank, practice. Pastor Frank Pomeroy, who in here knows who he is? I challenge Mr. Wade Reed on this one. Frank Pomeroy. Yes, you do. It was the Texas shooting in a church. How can God Everybody looked at that. How many people got killed? When you start and think, let's see, Pastor Pomeroy, 14-year-old daughter, or let me just read it. Pastor Frank Pomeroy was out of town when the worst mass shooting in Texas history took place at his church, the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs. 26 people were senselessly murdered, including Pastor Pomeroy's 14-year-old daughter. He returned from his trip to bury nearly half of his congregation. And when asked how he makes sense of this tragedy, Pomeroy said, "I don't understand, but I know my God does." In another interview with a news anchor, he said, "God has a plan and he is far further along than I am. And I just have to trust that." When you stop and you think, we have to spend time. As a father, we have to look at it. When your kids come and ask you, "Hey, Dad, why do we go to church?" You got to tell them. So we learn more about God. How about, "Hey, Dad, why do we need to get baptized?" How many men in here aren't baptized because we're too embarrassed to walk down and go in the water? But I got a question. Is that disobedience? Men, if you know one not baptized but he's saved, guess what we need to do? We need to show there's a plan. There's a reason. "Hey, Dad, why do you put all that money in the offering?" I can remember an argument my parents had one day. Mom and Dad were like, "Hey, we don't even have enough money to buy groceries next week. We've had to pay all the bills. This is all the money we have." I remember hearing that. And I remember as a kid, I was thinking, "Hey, don't put that in. I want that hamburger next week." Mom and Dad said, "No, but we want y'all to know it's going to be tight next week. But we got to live by faith. It's our tithe that's the right thing to do." They put it in the offering plate. Now, how would you feel watching that offering plate leave you, knowing next week there's no money to buy you food? I was like, "Wait a minute." Guess what? When we got home, Mom and Dad were sort of straightening it up, just trying to occupy time. Mom picked up a book, a $100 bill fell out of it. God does not forget, but we got to pass along. "Hey, Dad, why do we help missionaries?" What does God say? Go to where? The world. You got to tell them why you're doing it. "Hey, Dad, why don't we watch that television show?" "Hey, Dad, why don't we?" We've got to start telling, quit lying. I challenge y'all. We've got to remember what that cross means. It's not just a neat little thing to hang on our neck. And we've got to learn there's a way to do it. We've got to obey. We've got to do the right thing. We've got to help each other. We've got to have faith. How can you have faith if you don't have belief? If you don't have belief, what are you going to follow? But I'm going to tell you up front, before we go, there's a big warning. Satan can't be everywhere. But he does have demons. Do you think he's going to back off one step? Do you think when you're begging for your child's life, do you think if Satan can't get Miss Tissick, guess who he's going for? Well, you're struggling. He's going for your kids. You got to stay anchored. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time just coming to your church, your house, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the message and the words you have provided us, dear Heavenly Father. Just please allow us just to be obedient, just to understand what we're remembering, dear Heavenly Father, the Passover. If we do want to help and save our family, our communities, dear Heavenly Father, just please burden our hearts. How's it going to be when we're standing in front of everybody and we hear the weeping and gnashing of teeth, knowing that we could have at least spread the gospel and we didn't? Just, dear Heavenly Father, put a hedge of protection around this church that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.